Hi, Train. How are you?
Hi, Nana. How are you?
I'm good. That's love good it. News. Good news. Good news. I love it.
Yeah.
So we're on episode, what are you saying, 6B, episode 2?
Yeah, it's so weird because the thing says season 6, episode 2, but I'm like, guys, I thought we did 2 already, but yeah, 6B is what I'm calling it.
Yes, it's really, because I've seen, you know, sometimes I forget the title, so I have to go back and add them in, I don't want to rewind. When you Google, sometimes it'll say like episode 14.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just like that. We'll just stick with your naming conventions. But anyway, you guys know what it is. Welcome back to another episode of the Rewatch Sex in the City. And yes, as we said, this is episode 6B, episode 2, and it's called The Ick Factor. And once again, a brief recap for those of you who didn't get a chance to listen or watch, sorry. Miranda asks Steve to marry her. Samantha finds out that she has breast cancer. Carrie is icked out by romance. And Charlotte and Harry have food poisoning. I guess that was the extent of their storyline.
I'm sorry, Nana. Before we dive into the episode, at the time of recording this, we just got wind of season 2 of And Just Like That. And I just thought it would be fair if you share with the people how you feel.
I feel like if you listen to our first season, I won't have to tell you, but I feel like impending doom and gloom over my head, because guys, I do not enjoy And Just Like That at all. And things, I don't mind like a show that isn't good if it fully leans into the fact that it isn't good, but And Just Like That, I feel like it's trying to be good and failing, so I can't even fully enjoy it in its ridiculousness. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I will say one thing. I watched the trailer, and one thing that cracked me up, I saw somebody on Twitter respond to it that, oh, look, every main character has its own emotional support person of color.
Oh. Yep, they sure did that. It's
killing me.
Yeah.
It's killing me.
Yes,
how do you feel about it coming back?
I don't know. I'm okay. I think I'm more tickled by imagining your response to it. That tickled me like a lot. And it's just cracking up the entire time with how much you hate the show. It's funny when people ask about the podcast and I tell them, they're like, oh, how about I'm Just Like That? I was like, yeah, my friend really hates the show. So it's such a thing.
You know, maybe it will surprise me. Who knows? I'm open to being proved wrong.
That trailer was bad. That's how I felt about it. Like, I don't think it's as bad as you think it is, but I just think it's a bad show. But for those, if you listen to my other podcast, The Alter Call, my co-host there is so excited. She loves the show. And she's very excited. And she's like, pretty please, do we need to convince Nana that we have to cover it? And I was like, We'll see. Just hang in there.
Yeah. Do you know the funny thing is, if it was a show independent of Sex and the City, like I didn't know it had anything to do with it, I think I'd be a lot more forgiving. But it's the fact that I feel like I don't really recognize these characters anymore, and the balance is off. And I feel like they're trying to rectify all the quote unquote wrongs of the past by shoehorning in diversity, and it doesn't feel natural. I feel like the acting has regressed for so many of them. And I'm just like, why are we here? Was this necessary? But if it'd been divorced from it, I think I would have been like, okay, yeah, this is a whatever show. Like, I don't think I'd be as bothered by it.
I think that's the crux of the matter. This And Just Like That does not do the legacy of Sex and the City justice.
Yes.
So.
100%. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, we'll be back, guys, for those recaps. So yeah, look out for those.
My other thing,
positive, I promise.
My other thing is this, the going back to this episode, this whole time I thought ick was like a Brit slang word or word. I did not know. I don't know. Or is it still? I did not know it was an American. Honestly, my first introduction was Love Island about getting the ick. So...
I was about to ask you the same thing. Oh my god.
So I was very surprised when I saw this as the title, and of course we know this was 2004, so I'm like, oh wow, how did I miss
this
entire time?
That was literally what I was. I had the same thought. I was like, not me crediting Leanne from Love Island with popularizing the ick when they've Sex and the City have been like what 20 years ahead of us. I love it. We all think we invented everything, but nothing's new under the sun. And I'm sure by the time Sex and the City came out, I'm sure someone else had long been saying it before then too.
So then is it American?
I don't know.
That's why that's where it just sounds like such a Brit word.
It does. It does.
Interesting. The thing is different.
See, no one is like a pioneer. I'm sorry.
Tell that to the people suing Ed Sheeran, but okay.
Yes. Oh, don't get me started on them. Anyway. So we start the episode off with Steve and Miranda, then enjoying some beers outside a cafe when two grumpy old people walk by arguing very loudly. And Steve jokes that that could be them in 30 years. But Miranda says that already was them and she doesn't want to become them. And then they run through a list of other things they don't want. And Miranda says the one thing she does want is to marry Steve. She then asks Steve to marry her and he says, hell yeah. It seems to come out of the blue a little bit, but good for them. What did you think of her proposal?
Very uncharacteristic. Like, Miranda has never talked about getting married. She's always talked about having a partner. They already have a baby. So that came from nowhere for me. I don't know. I'm trying to see if that's something Miranda would do because she thinks about stuff. So to just come from nowhere, I want to get married. I want to do this. I don't. And they just got back together. Yeah. I just think they were trying to fit that into a storyline.
It seemed really weird to me too. And to be honest, it did seem like a surprise to her too. When she asked him, like, oh, I think I want to marry. It doesn't look like she'd actually been thinking about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Although, throughout the scene, Nana, I got to tell you, they just let these two roll around with their terrible teeth. Sorry. I'm like, this is not...
You and your teeth.
This is not British TV. Why is it? This would never happen. And I appreciate it, but I was just like, wow.
But you know what? Low-key thing, since I got Invisalign, I feel like I pay way more attention to people's teeth. And even actors that I always thought had perfect teeth, sometimes I'm like, oh, so you fix the top row? You couldn't spring for the bottom? I don't know. We have a bottom teeth problem. Even in Hollywood. I'm always looking at people's bottom teeth.
I agree with you. I think we have a lot of crooked teeth in Hollywood, but I think I'm talking about the color.
Yeah, okay.
The color is really what I'm... Because their teeth were fine, actually, in terms of being straight or whatever. It was just a discoloration of it that I'm just like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah. You know, I don't mind a little crooked smile. I feel like it has character. Better than turkey teeth, white veneers. But yeah, I get what you're like.
Yeah.
A little crest white strip wouldn't hurt, right? So we then go to Carrie and Alexander. So they're at his place and he's playing her an original composition on the piano. He says he wrote it for her and it's called La Femme avec les yeux lumineux, which means the woman with the shining eyes. Carrie seems underwhelmed, I feel like is the word. And kind of like her, and she just distracts him with a kiss. And then we see her at, it looked like lunch, with the girls the next day. And Miranda dictates is the cheesiest thing she's ever heard. And of course, Charlotte loves it. And then they discuss how the song has given all of them, apart from Charlotte, the ick. And Miranda says she hates all that artificial nonsense of romance and casually drops. That's why she proposed to Steve over $3 beers. The ladies are flabbergasted because, like we said, came out of the blue. But Miranda's adamant that she isn't here for the hoopla and her and Steve would get married as soon as she could find a place that doesn't make her hurl. They're all overcome with emotion, but Miranda's disgusted with them and flees. And what cracks me up is as she was leaving, she looks to Samantha and says she expected more from her. So what did you think of the scene, Tane?
I think it was funny. I can't believe she said it so casually and just dropped it like it was nothing. But that is true to Miranda, because I really think it's not a big deal to her now that she's made that decision to get married. I think it was funny when she said, "What's French for ick? Eek?" That was really funny to me. And I think someone made mention of, like, we're starved for romance or something. And I'm like, I was going to ask, do you think we are starved for romance? Because, I don't know, social media says differently.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to bring that up a bit, a little bit later on. Okay. But I think, it's a good point to think about. My issue, maybe I'll talk about that a bit later as well, with Miranda's, is not the fact that she's doing all of this. Like, everyone's entitled to change their mind. If she's decided that now she wants to marry Steve, she's more than... But I really don't like it when people shit on other people's, like, romantic gestures and all of that. While if that was good for the goose, is good for the gander, right? It's like that Miranda has her own idea of what she likes and romance, and I feel like they don't talk down on her for it, but she feels free to do it to them. Like, someone could be like, you proposed to him while you guys were having $3 beers. Like, I could never, that's gross. But they wouldn't do that to her, but she would do it to them.
I get it.
Am I making sense?
Yeah, you're making sense. I think in this case, they were all shitting on romance. Even the person getting romance, which is Carrie.
Yes.
Which is why I was like, I think one of them made a comment. That's why I was like, why would they say that? So I don't, she would do that, I get. But in this case, I think she was participating in a mob bashing. And I was very surprised by all of them just like really bashing romance. And I'm like, what? But okay.
Anything to fit with the theme of the episode. But yeah. Charlotte and Harry are together, and she's telling him all about Alexander's romantic gestures for Carrie. And not to be outdone, Harry promises to take her out for a romantic night out on the town. We then see Miranda and Steve discussing non-cringy wedding locations as they're coming back from grocery shopping, lugging their heavy bags. And they stumble across a local community garden, and Miranda is sold. She did say she just wants a place that won't make her howl, and I guess that's it. And we then see the ladies, minus Miranda, struggling to find a non-domestic gift for her for the wedding. And out of the blue, Samantha drops the bomb that she's getting a boob job. And she says seeing pictures of herself in a magazine as Smith's girlfriend has made her realize that her boobs could use some help, in her opinion. And of course, Charlotte isn't for it. But Samantha, she's swayed when Samantha compliments. Well, she says Carrie's boobs are perfect, which I think we said before, Carrie has great boobs. And then Charlotte's like, what's wrong with my boobs? And she's like, they're good too. And then she grabs hold of Charlotte's boob, and then she starts to giggle, and she's like, whatever. I thought that was cute. What did you think of that scene?
It was. I just think it was like, don't say someone's boobs are good when there are two people standing there. Of course, the other person's going to be like, so good on Charlotte for saying, what's wrong with mine? Why didn't you say mine?
Yeah. I agree. So we then see Carrie and Alexander hanging out again. She's spending a lot of time with him. And he decides to read her some poetry, some Russian poetry that he's translating into English. And she's once again unimpressed, but offers to read him some of her poetry. And it goes into a very in-depth description of a pink Oscar de la Renta gown. She's reading for a magazine in great detail. And Alexander casually drops that Oscar de la Renta is a very good friend of his, and he'll tell him that she likes the dress. It made me laugh because, you know, Carrie was just trying to take the piss, and he's like, yeah, my good friend Oscar.
So you get, you, when you date up,
Thank you. Thank you. And then he asks her why she doesn't like the poetry. And she says she writes a column based on the assumption that romance is either dead or phony. So she's uncomfortable with grand gestures. He seems, I feel like, I don't know how to interpret this look to me. It came across as pity, like he seemed piteous of her. But he goes back to reading his book of poems. I wanted to ask you, Tane. Oh, no, sorry. Please go ahead.
I don't think it was pity. I think it was looking at her like this silly American woman.
Oh, okay.
Really?
I saw pity as in like, wow, you really have no romance in your life. Like, poor you.
Eh, it could be. Okay. It could be. Okay.
No, I was going to say, I wanted to ask you, do you think that is an accurate representation of Carrie's column that is based on the assumption that romance is either dead or phony?
The phony part, I'm not sure. But the dead part, yes. But all she does in her column is whine. But what I don't get is, like, you finally get the thing that you're complaining about, and then now it's too much for you. Which goes back to that episode where we talked about where I said these women don't know how to receive healthy love or romance or whatever. But yeah, I think I'd lean towards, yes, she's always just talking about the bad parts.
Yes, I'm 100% with you about them. The whole time I was watching the episode, I kept thinking, you're complaining about all of this, but big what, showing up at your boyfriend's cabin, you know, she saw that as romantic, to brawl with him in the mud. Do you know what I mean? And I'm just like, fam, what else did, like, if you think back on all the things Big didn't do for her, and she was like tied to him, this man is actually trying to treat you well, and here we are. But we all know Carrie's problems, because she felt the same with Aiden, let's be real, right?
Yep, because I was about to say, romance to me is someone remodeling my whole bathroom and I don't think I'm paying full price for that. That is romance, my friend.
High romance. But yeah, Carrie, anyway. So anyway, we then see Carrie calling Miranda to complain about Alexander's romantic gestures. And Miranda urges her to tell him that he's given her the ick. Carrie rightfully asks her why she's having a wedding at all if she hates romance that much. And Miranda says she actually wants to say those vows to Steve out loud in front of the people she cares about. I thought that was cute.
It's cute, but I get going back to Carrie. Your friend is shopping for her wedding dress on her lunch break. You have other friends, but you choose to call the person who's getting married, trying to get things done, to continue on about your romantic boyfriend being too much. That is selfish. I'm sorry.
Give it all selfish?
Yes.
Interesting.
It's right timing, right everything. Miranda's trying to plan a wedding in what feels like a week. And then she's on her lunch break trying to find a wedding dress. She didn't even ask, how is it going? Are you finding anything? She just calls to complain. You could call Sam, you could call Charlotte or whatever. But you're calling her and she's trying to do that. It's too much. Like, wrong timing.
I didn't see that at all. To be very honest with you. At all. I feel like Miranda will probably even appreciate her just treating it like a normal day, since she's so aggressive and adamant about everyone treating it like it's nothing.
She did. Miranda did look amazing. I don't know what they did, but her makeup was great while she was shopping.
Yeah, she did look nice as she was berating the sales assistant. But to be fair, the sales assistant wasn't listening to her instructions, and that's annoying. So it is what it is. Carrie is writing her article of the week, of the month. I don't even know when, how often her column comes out. And she says that New York women have learned to live a sugar-free existence. They accept emails instead of love songs, jokes instead of poetry. When faced with the real thing, they can't stomach it. And then she asks us, is it something we can learn to digest, or have we become romance intolerant? What did you think of the question of the week?
I don't think it. I think it was a good question. I think it fit the episode, but I don't think what she means is romance intolerant. I think what's happened is people have lowered their expectations so they don't get disappointed. So now when you actually get it, you don't know what to do, and then you're suspicious of it. And I think it's equivalent to like dating now, where, for example, Love is Blind, and we see Brett, and we're all like, okay, what's wrong with him? Instead of like, oh, this is someone who's done the work or is an adult and is doing this, we're all like, okay, something's got to be wrong with him. So I think...
I'm doing poetry clicks for you right now, because you are preaching. Preaching. Sorry, not a single wrong word said. I'm listening.
But yeah, so it's just expectations are lower because it's like, this is what men do. And that's what they should have used, not intolerant. It's just, we don't know what to do with that. Our immunity is low.
It's a coping mechanism, isn't it?
Yes.
Because we're all accepting the bare minimum, and then you try to make it like, well, I don't want that anyway, like you said, so you're not disappointed. Yeah. And I'm also one of those people with Brett, I'm like, there's got to be something wrong. But I also don't think anything he's done has been, sorry for those who don't watch Love is Blind, by the way. Brett is a man on the show who seems like the perfect husband, like just very nice man. But I feel like that should be normal, right? Because he honestly hasn't done anything extraordinary at all. He's just not a weirdo. That's all. The bar is in hell. Just don't be weird and everyone will sing your praises. So yeah. So we then see Harry and Charlotte at a really nice restaurant having their version of romance with a 7-course dinner. And yeah, they're just going to town on a cheese cart. We then see Samantha at a bar standing next to two very boorish men and she's scoping out boobs, like too big, too small, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes to the bartender and she falls in love with her boobs and she tells her, wow, that's like fantastic work. And the bartender tells her the name of her surgeon and declares him the best. His name is Dr. Bevel. Also, sometimes I'm like, some of these scenes are pointless, okay? Because did we need the two men perving with her? What was the point? But hey, I'm not a writer, so it is what it is. And we see Carrie and Alexander on another date. And she shows up at his house. He's dressed in a very fancy tuxedo. She is dressed in one of the worst outfits I've ever seen Carrie in. But she's like, are we going to like different places? But he's got her the pink Oscar de la Renta dress she was swooning over in the magazine. Gorgeous dress. And he says, tonight it's time for her poetry and not his. And yeah, she gets ready and they head out. I actually thought that was sweet, you know, because if she wasn't so obsessed with having the ick from him, he's really trying to meet her where she's at. And I like that.
Based on his world. Because he's not in a regular world like us.
Yes.
He's up there with the big names and he's a big name himself. So what did you expect?
Ah, thank you. You're really speaking my language today. Like, for real, for real. Because I was thinking, you met this man at this art show. He's like a famed artist. Why are you surprised by this is like how he lives his life? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
None of this should be surprising to you.
If anything, it should tell you that it should highlight how much of a failure Big is in your romantic life. Because Alexander is showing interest in things that don't interest him. Oscar de la Renta, I'm sure, it's not in his wheelhouse. But because it's important to you, he's making it a point going in and doing that for you. Big has the means and the capacity to do certain things, knowing that it's important to you. But instead, he kind of belittled what you did and didn't make an extra effort.
There's no kind of thing. He did. He might as well have said, how's your little job? How are your little articles going? There's no kind of. He did.
Yeah. And he didn't go his extra way to like his connections or anything to do anything for her. Just dangle stuff in front of her like a carrot. So, I don't know. She's being childish. Sorry.
Very. And she's also become accustomed to the worst. So she doesn't know when the best is in front of her. But whatever. We go back to Charlotte and Harry, who are now in bed. They're trying to cap off their 7-course meal with some sex. And all of a sudden, both their stomachs start grumbling. And they've both been struck down with terrible food poisoning. Boy, do I know how that feels. That was me last weekend. Anyway, Carrie voiceovers that. they both had romance shooting out of them. Which made me laugh. But she says, surviving a bout of food poisoning together wasn't the stuff of great romance, but it was the stuff of lasting love. Which I thought was cute. But I have a question for you. Can there be love without romance?
It depends on the two people involved. Someone like Miranda. No, I take that back. It depends on your definition of romance. Because everybody likes to say, oh, I don't really like this or whatever. But for Miranda, romance to her is proposing with $3 beers. Somebody else is like, God forbid, don't ever do that to me. I need a whole grand gesture. So, no. I don't think there can be love without romance, because romance is the way you express in little ways that you love this person. And if, no matter how, whatever the level is, somebody might think it might be you buying me, I like gummy bears, you buy me gummy bears or whatever, I'm like, that's romance. I love that. For somebody else, it could be take me on a 7-course meal, take me to Paris or whatever it is. If not, I think you start feeling a little like, hey, why can't you show me blah, blah, blah. So as long as expectations one and the definition of romance are on par and you understand each other, I think you cannot do without it. I'm trying to think of, if you choose to be with someone, you have to have expectations of that person. I don't care how ironclad hearted you are.
Yep. I'm 100% with you. I don't think there can be love without romance, because obviously everyone's definition of romance is different. But I still, like, remember, to me, the highest form, because romance to me is consideration of the other person, right? Yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to be over the top gestures, even though that is obviously also romantic. But I do feel like if you're in love with me, and you don't do things for me that show that you've considered me, you've thought about me, how can you say you love me?
Yeah.
Like, I never, even small things. I remember I was talking to this guy, and we're literally just chilling. There was like a group of people, and I was like, oh, I need to go wash my car. And I remember he's like, oh, give me your keys, I need to get something out of the car. And I gave it and didn't think about it, didn't see him for like an hour. And I was like, oh, where's he gone? He'd gone and washed my car for me and parked it again. To me, that is high romance. Do you know what I mean? You heard me mention something and you did something about it just so I wouldn't have to. So yeah, I am with you. I don't think there can be love without romance. Otherwise, it's just words.
It took me a while to recognize things like that as romance. I used to just think of it as thoughtful. I used to always say, like, I didn't think my husband was romantic. And then my friend was like, well, what do you call it? Because then I'll say all these little things like, oh, if I go work out, he makes like my bottle for me, like my make sure my water, and I always have to have ice in it, that's in there. Or the other day, I want to take a box in, and he goes and he gets me the wraps and the things, and I didn't even ask and stuff. And she's like, so what is that? And I said, just being thoughtful. And she's like, in some way, that could be romantic. And I'm like, that's true. So,
100% romantic. But yeah, you guys tell us, what is your idea of romance? I'm actually very interested. So yeah, send us a message and let us know.
Yeah.
We see Carrie and Alexander on their date, and they're all dressed to the nines. They're going to the net. Tongue-tied, they're going to the Met for an opera, and all of a sudden we have musicians play music, and then Alexander's like, oh, what a perfect night. And it really is, it's like textbook romance, right? And then he tells Carrie she's beautiful and asks her to dance. I'm so sorry guys, I don't know what is wrong with my mouth today. He asks her to dance and she gets overwhelmed by it all. And then she all of a sudden faints. And this scene was so weird to me because I thought she was just being funny and like doing a bit. And then I was like, no, wait, did she really faint? It was just really weird. I don't know if it was an acting issue, a writing issue, but it just didn't hit for me. And he is obviously super worried. He's holding her and he's like, are you okay? And then she comes to and tells him that, yeah, it's all too much. She's an American.
Wait, so that faint was real?
Yes. I thought it was fake too, but I think it was supposed to be real that she's fainted. Because I don't get it. I don't know what was going on.
I think my exact notes say, was that faint real? ? Geez.
That's the thing. The fact that we're questioning it means there's a problem, right? Like, oh. We don't know whether that was real or fake. It should have been clear. But yeah.
I just thought she was trying to get out of going into the Met.
I don't know what was going on. I really don't. It's just weird. Very weird. But yeah, she says she's an American. He's going to have to take it down, which annoyed me again. So every time she highlights his foreignness, it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I think it started from when she was like, she doesn't understand his accent. I don't know why. I just think it's rubbing me the wrong way. And we cut to them at McDonald's in the next scene, ordering some fast food. And she apologizes to him for ruining their opera night, but he says, another time. He's like very go with the flow, kind of like that. And when they get their order, they kiss and then they slow dance be under the lights of McDonald's. What did you think of that whole scene?
I will read you my notes verbatim. Dancing in McDonald's, this was so silly.
Wow.
If I was that really girl feel. At the counter, I'd be just as in, like, get the fuck out of my, what are you doing? You're dressed in Oscar de la Renta. My shift for 3 weeks will not pay for that dress, and you're there doing your cutesy. Get the fuck out of here. Doing too much. So basically, you're just trying to level him. He's giving you that romance, but you don't want it, but you want to dance in McDonald's. That you think is romantic? Come on.
You're actually killing me.
Oh, that pissed me off to no end.
You're like, can you do it after you've picked up your food and sat down? Get out of my line. Oh, Lord. We then see Samantha having her breast consultation with Dr. Bevel. And she's talking and talking about how excited she is about her upcoming boob job. And he is examining her and he finds a lump in one of her breasts and says, yeah, before we do any kind of cosmetic surgery, you need to get that lump checked out. And she goes, are you kidding? And he says, oh, it's probably just a cyst, but he has to be sure before he can proceed. And Samantha looks extremely worried, as am I, for her. And it's Miranda's wedding day. Samantha picks up Carrie in a cab. And she, very matter of fact, tells her that she has breast cancer. And the doctors told her that the tumor is very small and she's having it removed next week. All the information she has, she's very matter of fact, like boom, 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 boom. She doesn't want any drama. And Carrie, being a good friend, I have to say every time she is, because I find it rare, listens to her, lets her get it all out. She knows Samantha doesn't want his like histrionics. She doesn't want her screaming. She's just tries to be there and present. Samantha assures her that she'll be fine and she just doesn't want to lose her breasts because of how fabulous they are. And there's nothing like having the threat of something taken away to make you appreciate what you have, right? So yeah. What did you think of that scene, Tane?
I think that there were, it just feels like maybe we know that the end of the show is coming and they're trying to throw a lot mm-hmm. at us, because literally we had a proposal and a wedding in one episode, and I'm really, really surprised that they threw in a cancer storyline, because it seems very far from the Sex and the City DNA. They don't go deep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that, actually.
Okay.
Because they've covered a lot of other things, right? Because even Steve, with his surgery that he had, like, with his balls, and like, even, like, Charlotte's infertility, I feel like they have covered, like, serious issues.
They
but
do.
But just not always in the most best ways.
Yes, in a flighty way. But with Samantha's, and I guess probably, I mean, I remember the episodes and how it was handled. Maybe that's where I'm coming from. is like it goes beyond one episode or two. Because with Steve, I feel like we found out he had cancer. They had the baby. Mm-hmm. By the next one, he was cured because Miranda found a doctor or something like that. And that was it. And in mm-hmm. this case, that's not exactly what it was. And then giving, she's a main character, telling on Miranda's wedding, everyone finding out and all that. It just seemed more serious than the other ones. Because even with Charlotte's infertility, they have addressed it, but she took a pause. And then even when they did the whole acupuncture, it mm-hmm. seemed like a joke. Because yeah. she couldn't get the noise. She couldn't. It's not like any of her friends sat with her and all that. And maybe the miscarriage. Yes, they did. But even that was one episode. And she watched E and she was fine.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
So that, I guess that's what I mean with that. But in regards to the scene, Carrie was a good friend. It was just the right thing. And we got to see, I like when they do things that are close to the DNAs. We've established and been with these characters. That is exactly how I expect Samantha to tell. And I expect her to tell Carrie first. I expect her to tell her in this way, don't make it a big deal. And yeah. it was a very perfect scene. It was great.
Yes. And really beautifully acted as well. And again, sorry, because this is all I was thinking. Pisses me off even more how they handle their friendship and stuff like that. Because nothing tracks. Nothing. There's no way these two women wouldn't be in each other's lives. Especially after Carrie's husband died. Like, be for fucking real. Like, never. Sorry.
But the way they ended season one, she's kind of in her life. They literally just can't get Kim Cattrall to come there.
Yes, yes. So. Which is maybe why they shouldn't have done it in the first place. But anyway, so, if you can't get all your people, just cut your losses. But anyway, so Miranda and Steve get married in the community garden and Charlotte is holding Brady saying, look, mommy and daddy are getting married. Magda is ecstatic. It's like, happy times. She's clapping. And it was another nice touch. Carrie just holds Samantha's hand and the camera zooms in on it. It was a really nice scene.
It was.
And yes.
Did you know that was a black couple?
Yes.
I'm like, who there?
Because I'm sorry, there are literally like 10 people there. And I'm like, oh, Miranda has other friends we've never heard of who are allowed to come to her wedding. Like, please be for real. But it just made me laugh. I'm like, Miranda don't have any friends. Be serious. Yeah. Apart from the ones we see, those three. Maybe they work with her. Maybe. Maybe she probably picked her one work friend that she likes and invited her. Because that's what I would do. So the reception is being held at a restaurant and Charlotte tells Samantha, oh, you look really nice. Samantha responds, thank you, I have cancer. So Charlotte is as shocked as you'd expect her to be. And we then cut to Steve's mom, whose name I always forget. Have we actually been ever told her name?
I don't think we've still been to... I don't think we have her name.
Yeah. But she's nattering away to Miranda about how she wore white on her wedding day and she shouldn't have worn white because she was already pregnant. Miranda looks like she is in hell and wants to be anywhere but there. And she looks over, she can see all her three friends in deep conversation. And she goes over there and they obviously try to change the subject because it's her wedding day. No one's ruining someone's wedding day with cancer talk. And Miranda's like, you guys are acting weird. What's going on? So Samantha tells her about the cancer and they're like, it's fine. Like, go back, enjoy your day. But Miranda says, you guys are my people. And she wants to talk about it with them right now. And Carrie tells her off for being the world's bossiest bride. But Samantha, starts to tell her all about it. And then, like, their voices fade. We zoom out. And then the end voiceover says, for better or for worse, we were all ourselves that day, just the way Miranda wanted it. And I thought that was a really nice ending. So what did you think of the episode?
It was good. A lot, a couple of last minute things. Did you think it was weird that Miranda's sister wasn't there? I think I only remember her when her mom died, and I'm like, she should have just thrown in a sister there.
I have the, you know, I watched the episodes twice, but the first time I watched the episode, I was like, she has no family here, which is very weird when it's been well established that she has family, you know? Yeah, 100%.
I just looked it up. Steve's mom's name is Mary, and I'm trying to say, have they ever said
Okay.
it? I don't know.
I don't, yeah.
But she's played by Anne Mira, who's Ben Stiller's mom.
Oh, do you know what? I did know that, and I think I forget it every time.
Yeah,
Yes,
I think
yes,
she
yes,
died a
yes.
couple of years ago. So, oh yeah. And
Yes.
then my final thing was like, guys, I went down a rabbit hole of Googling Tasty Delight because Charlotte was eating it and they talked about it in the romance when they were talking about it. And I'm like, is it yogurt? Is it ice cream? It's supposed to be some low calorie dessert that I still don't know if it's real or what it is, but it's still alive because I thought it was gone. But yes, guys, I went on a rabbit hole of Tasty Delight.
Oh God! You're like, I have to know what they're talking about. I bet it's neither tasteful, tasty, nor
Oh,
delightful.
delight.
Not surprise me. I love
But
it.
it was
Okay,
good.
10 second. Oh no, sorry. Please
It
continue.
was a good episode. So I enjoyed it. I don't know. I was mad at them. I side-eyed them for the whole giving the ick for romance. Like, listen, we don't think you're gonna end up with this guy. So just enjoy it for now and have a story to tell your children. But yeah, it was
Yes.
good.
Wonderful. Yeah, I enjoyed it too. Can you please tell the people where they can find us?
Yes, you can find us at the Rewatch Times 2, TheRewatchTimes2 handle on Instagram, handle on Twitter, and send us an email just add@gmail.com.
And please give us a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts. We'd really appreciate it. And once again, if you have any questions, please email us. Especially in response to what do you think romance is? What is romance to you? I'd really love to know. Thank you guys so much again for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye, guys.